Is that the point of what we're doing here?
Yeah.
We're dumb exercise.
I'm supposed to build my audience by telling great jokes and get lots of girls from it. That's what we're doing here. You're just kind of riding my coattails, I'd say.
I did feel myself being not excited to do this week, but like I feel soothed by it for some reason.
Oh, that's actually really sweet.
Not
I'm glad to
soothed
hear it.
by it, but just like it's a nice ritual as part of my weekend to just chop it up with my damn friend. My damn friend.
I felt proud last night. I told somebody about it. It's the
You're a
first time I've
fucking
told it.
loser.
I told somebody about it.
Who?
A friend, I was at the bar. I looked at my watch. It was like 11:30 at night, and I was like, holy shit, I gotta get home. And then I swelled up with pride and was like, because I gotta wake up early to do a podcast with my friend. I'm doing a podcast
And
with my friend.
what did that friend say?
She was not, she didn't care. She was like, oh, okay. I was like,
Okay,
if you
get
want, I
the
can
fuck
send.
out of here.
I was like, I can send you a link if you want. And she was like, yeah, okay.
Well, your friends are unsupportive. My friend, this is the same friend that I read the quote last week, but I do want to read the quote this week.
Oh, we're doing early shout outs to our number one fan.
Yeah, we have one fan who said, was laughing so much at the podcast this week. Thanks for the shout out. Ha ha ha. I honestly love it a lot. So, one true fan, dude. That's all you need. Kevin Kelly said 1,000 true fans. You get 1,000 true fans, and they spend $100 on whatever you want every year. You make $100,000 a year. Thoughts?
Who the fuck is Kevin
Founder of Wired Magazine. Josh, you're not
Kelly?
in
Oh,
on
yeah.
any of this technology stuff whatsoever.
Wired Magazine. Are you reading? I imagine you holding a hard copy of Wired Magazine.
Yeah, right now I have something to share from it.
Well, what I was going to do to shit on you was I was going to say, what kind of professional are you that you send me the Zoom link 30 seconds before the meeting? And then you show up a minute late.
Zoom was doing some updates.
You should wake up earlier and update your Zoom first.
You're right. So far, so bad this episode. What
Terrible.
were you doing at the bar last night?
Making mistakes.
Drinking.
Drinking for the first time in a while. And it's funny, I just wanted to hang out with my friend. I just wanted to like catch up with her.
The friend that didn't give a shit about the podcast.
That's right. She is a pretty supportive friend. She listens to my bullshit. And so we went to the bar, and I don't want to go into too much detail just in
Tread
case.
lightly then.
It's a small town. I've mentioned this.
Right.
I run a sober living facility and a 3.5 level residential substance use treatment facility and all the staff for these.
Right.
And there was not only a former somebody that was a client at the bar, but two of my staff were at the bar, one of whom I had just like had a talking to with
Are
earlier in
you
the week.
allowed to say any of this on here, do you think?
No.
So what? I wonder how I would, Jesus Christ. I wonder how I would have shared this story by saying maybe something like that I ran it, like, I don't know. It's a toughie.
I mean,
Are
yeah,
you?
that's this podcast is a toughie for me as a small towner. Like, how could I have shared that story differently? It's the thing that just happened.
Right. It was just you were at the bar and you work in a substance abuse, a sober living clinic. And you ran into some employees and some patients. We're already down the rabbit hole with this.
Yeah, might as well get off it.
Yeah. Anyway, but booze is a problem.
Not for me, but for others, yeah.
Right. So it makes sense that you could run into people. I've
Yeah.
been watching booze be a problem at all of these different conferences that I go to. Have I shared this on here? Possibly. But I wish the conferences also had a place for people to smoke weed together. Like all the networking is around boozing, and people get loaded and make mistakes and seem sloppy. But there's also so much professional bonding that goes on over a beer with a colleague. And I really hate it because I don't like drinking one beer because one beer is too many and 10 is not enough. I've said that for years. And I feel a little like not together even after one drink. Like I'm not as sharp as I want to be. I feel that way after I drink milk, to be honest with you. Because I'm both allergic to milk and probably and lactose intolerant. So I have a histamine response to milk and I'm lactose intolerant.
Hilarious.
So I'm not, I have massive brain fog when I drink milk. You didn't know that, did you?
I think your relationship with alcohol is my relationship with weed. And I
I'm
was
talking
actually,
about milk.
sorry.
No, go, sorry, go back. Go back to
No,
the
we have the same relationship with milk. I can't fucking touch it. And still,
dude.
I like expose myself to cheese.
Yeah, me too, every day.
Every day. It's in my breakfast. It's right next to my spinach and my eggs.
Right. I'm trying to only eat dairy at night, and I've removed the milk from my coffee, except for today's coffee.
I've been doing oat milk in my coffee for years now. That I've
Yeah.
done. Because you're right. I don't want to start my day on this note.
When you drink milk, what happens?
Straight up milk. Like if I have creamer in my coffee, I've
Yeah.
got 35 minutes before offensive farts.
As
And
the smoke for the fire of diarrhea, or di
yeah.
oh, okay, great. Now, is this better or worse than talking about intercompany relations
I'm so relieved to be talking about this.
about diarrhea?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was nice that you went home early to achieve it. Did you also flee the bar? How many drinks did you have? Could I ask that? Maybe you shouldn't answer that.
I
Yeah.
actually shouldn't answer that.
I was talking to my friend about how at a certain point, like I have a friend who just is like, I don't smoke weed at all. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't drink at all. And it's funny, I think at our age, people, a lot of people just kind of choose one or the other because they have a problem with one of them.
Yeah. I
Like I
mean,
have a friend who was we used to smoke a lot of weed together. He was awesome. Like it was just his, it was like a major part of his personality.
you talking about
And I'm not.
me? Okay.
No, Josh, not everything is about you, okay? I'm talking about somebody else. And now he only drinks. And he's in the cocktail making, and his and him and his partner go out and have drinks, which is so funny because he used to just he like he used to smoke weed, but he has a problem with it, so he has to drink, and
Well,
he can moderate that, and I'm the complete other opposite way.
I can relate to some extent. Like, I had a problem with weed that I recently stopped doing, and I can't smoke. Like, I'm an alcoholic with weed. Like, if I hit a single joint, I'm going to the store to buy more weed.
Right. And that's why this
However,
podcast is. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I don't drink either. Like, I drink maybe once a month or less. And it's always under three drinks, usually under two. I don't think I have the potential to be an alcoholic. So like I'm just an addict, I think.
Yeah.
Didn't seem excited about that.
I looked at my phone for a second.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I mean, I'm not kidding, but it didn't distract me from answering your saying.
Tell me what you looked at on your phone. Include
No,
me.
but I am going to tell you that the
Max, I was just
podcast.
so vulnerable. I said publicly to our huge audience of listeners that I'm an addict all around. And
I'm also.
you looked at Twitter.
No, I checked the WhatsApp like just to see. There were no new messages.
You just looked for new, you didn't get a notification. You just looked
No,
for
I
somebody
have
else talking to
notifications
you.
off. I have notifications off. So I like my it's like a fucking tick just picking up my phone and checking to see if there are new, dopamine whatevers.
Sure. Which WhatsApp group were you looking for?
Are you trying to veer away from what you've said, or are you?
Yeah, that's how vulnerability works, man. When somebody's checking their phone when you do it, then you veer hard.
I also am an addict, I would say, for everything from nicotine all the way up to sex, probably.
Yeah, same page. I'm glad I was so successful with quitting nicotine. I don't know what to attribute that to. I was like a regular cigarette smoker for probably 9 years and then just decided to stop, and it really stuck and it hasn't come back up.
Well, what I was gonna say earlier, before you prostrated yourself to the listeners, was that this podcast, I think, is keeping us in line. It's like funny how, or at least it is for me a little bit. Like you told your friend that you got to get up to do this podcast, but in general, I'm like, I went out to a club on Friday night and like had a hard day with my dog who sh was shitting and pissing in the house, not my house, somebody else's. So what? And I had this thought on the way over there, like I could get into some fucking trouble tonight. I could drink and then smoke and then be crazier even than that. But I didn't. And in part, it's because I want to be here on Sunday morning and be able to say that I am, conquering my demons and able to do this from a place of wholeness.
Same page, Max. Yesterday was 420.
Oh yeah, that's a toughie.
I think I told you, but the lady that I've been having some dates with left her box of 20 pre-rolled joints in my car. And so now I have a box of 20 pre-rolled joints in my house. And I didn't really have much of a craving, but there was one moment where I was like, it's a beautiful day. I'm going for a hike. What's the harm? And then
Right.
I was like,
That's
well,
how
I
it
got a
starts.
podcast. Yeah, I got a podcast to
Is that really what you thought?
Yeah.
Partly. I'll be like, what's the harm? This is the I know the results. Like I know the outcomes of
Well, it's like you
going.
were saying with one drink isn't enough. What is it, 10 drinks isn't enough or something? I would just smoke all 20 joints. Like, that's what would happen.
Right. 20 joints is the right amount
Right.
for 20
So
joints for one for yeah. I uh
this is how like support groups work. This is how like 12 steps and AA, this is how they work. And this is also their downside, because it's like we can know to look forward to this and have a hope or a light at the end of the tunnel that'll get us through tough moments. And we know that we have each other for support, but there's also the shame of it. So, like, that was a partial driving factor when I was thinking about smoking weed. I was like, I have a podcast to do. And then the secondary thought was, and I would feel so disgusting if I had to either hide or tell Max, tell or not tell Max that I smoked weed, that I broke it.
Right.
I think this is the downside to support groups, is like the shame piece. But I guess that's just accountability also. Like, sometimes you feel ashamed when you do something you know you shouldn't be doing.
Well, yeah, shame is a pretty complicated emotion. I like have my, I have my, I like to feel shame.
Me too. I didn't get that far though. I didn't like crave the shame. I was averse to the shame and it actually worked. Next time maybe I'll crave it now that you bring it up. Thanks for
Well, yeah, no, don't do that. And yeah, fuck the shame, bro.
Do you think you embrace shame because it like feeds a narrative that you're a piece of shit?
I think because I think what I've reasoned out is that it's because it's a predictable emotion. And so when things get uncertain,
Oh, it's a control.
yeah, it's a control, exactly. So it's like you can feel safe, at least, even though you feel like shit, you know it's predictable how you'll feel.
Yeah, that's a good insight.
So yeah, like I got out of, I didn't need to like get out of the house. Actually, it was like I biked down to South Philly, so it was like a 25-minute bike ride along the water, and it was cold, and it kind of just like had me exert some energy, and like I got out whatever angst I was feeling that was like lingering in my head, thinking you should go do something destructive right now. And
Yeah.
instead, I think exercise fucking works, obviously. And yeah, not showing up to this. I was gonna say, you were saying the problem with support groups. I think it's funny, like imagine that this didn't happen, like a when the support group is canceled or something like that, like COVID, people died
Yeah,
because
our
it was
friend
all
died.
our friend died. Do you think that he died because of COVID in part, like because of the isolation that was being, forced on people?
I don't know. It could
I
have
don't
been a
know.
factor, but he was such a social butterfly that I feel like it wasn't impacting him. I like to think that I wasn't in touch with him at the end, but were you? Were you talking to him there, around then?
Like, yeah, because I mean, a little bit, yeah, because he was celebrating 1 year sobriety. So,
I think it
like,
was
I think I
either.
was aware of that. I mean, he died like a week after his 1 year of sobriety, and he like
Right.
left the rehab to celebrate that or something, right?
I think it was either shame from a relapse that was like, fuck it, I'll go harder than I usually go. And that was what happened. Or I don't know, maybe isolation, because he is such a social butterfly that I just assume he would, even despite a pandemic, he would surround himself with people. But maybe if he was like really forced into a situation or felt forced into a situation where he was isolated, I can't imagine him isolated.
Well, I would imagine like he has abandonment issues. I bet he's adopted, right? So
Right.
if he feels, I mean, I even feel that like some level of abandonment just based on my relationship with my father and shit. So I know that sometimes when I feel abandoned by my partner, I get like there's almost like a destructive switch that gets turned on.
Yeah.
Actually, it's funny. When I was a kid at summer camp, my friends used to call it Destructive Daniel. And I guess when I'm like when I'm like 12,
That's your alter ego.
they would assign it to me, but I get like I'm thinking about it, I'm looking back on it and thinking, well, I wasn't into drugs and like sex at age 12 so much, right? Not at least in the way that it was, in my 20s. But if I felt maybe some level of abandonment or like boredom or whatever, then the destructive thing would be to like destroy camp property, or like to go do some kind of mischief or in school to fuck something up, right? And so maybe that was like the abandonment activity back in the day when free drugs or whatever.
That tracks. Were your friends smart enough and tuned in enough to like trigger your abandonment? Would they like walk away from you and see
Yeah,
like
like I can't, that's
destruction?
what I'm saying. I can't remember like the micro of it, but yeah. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, it's funny. So that's destructive, Daniel. So it's almost like a switch that gets turned on. It's like if you could start, what's cool is being is learning how to pay attention to your emotions, and then you like notice patterns. So it's like, oh, okay, I feel like I want to get out of the house, go smoke cigarettes, and fucking, seek sex, right? And okay, well, why do I fucking feel like that? Because I like feel a bit stupid at work.
It's funny. I know Destructive Daniel. I was never introduced to him by name.
Oh, sure.
I rem I you know our Persian friend loves Destructive Daniel more than he loves you.
Well, but he, yeah, I mean, but I was destroying his like stuff for a while. So I think he didn't love that. Like, he likes it when it's not at his apartment.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah,
It's
that's
also
all wrapped up with my father and like trying to get attention and all that shit too. Anyway.
who's so successful. It's like I'm right now smiling, thinking about they're like I have like fond memories of
Of just
Destructive Daniel.
destroying shit.
You because in your 20s, it became all of the above. It was like
Right. It was destroying
alcohol,
shit, drugs, alcohol,
all of the
women. Yeah.
above. It was peaking in a
Right.
dangerous way,
Oh,
and
sure.
I loved it at the time. I
Yeah.
remember,
It's
oh yeah, I
awesome.
wanted to get into it.
You can tell it, I get. I mean, I don't know
I
how
remember
bad it is.
visiting
Yeah.
you in college in Montreal, and we lost you momentarily, and then found you late at night, getting like fighting in the street.
Right.
It was like, where's Max? Commotion in the street. There's Max.
Right. Yeah, good times, man. It's funny how we universally like decide to settle down and stop doing that. What is it? I want peace.
I think women do it to us.
You think so?
Were you motivated independently?
I don't know. I'm like, I say it now. I have like a gratitude practice and I say it every day. Like, I'm taking care of my physical and financial health and building a family. I like, what's it called when you visualize shit?
Yeah, you're trying to manifest something and you're succeeding.
Manifest. Yeah. You're
That's
like, I like,
beautiful.
yeah. It's so boring, all this shit.
It is so boring.
The insane shit was much more exciting. But there's exciting moments in the dancing of the leaves in the breeze, Josh.
Jesus, that was lovely.
Yeah, I had too much milk in my coffee this morning.
Getting all poetic pre-shits.
Yeah. No, I po I I'm post. Thank you for
Nice.
asking.
I'm pre.
You're pre?
Well, I have oat milk, but I got coffee still. So there will always be a shit. It's just a matter of how violent.
Do you like to let it build or not?
No, actually, I don't. I like to like
That's weak.
pressure release valve, take three shits in the morning.
Oh, really? Just kind of let them out.
Yeah, on a weekend, why not?
What else do you have in store for this weekend, young Josh? It's Passover. We didn't talk about that. This was organic, though. We talked about heavy shit, like just organically.
Yeah, I'm gonna lose my job.
I gotta tell you something. The episode after you lose your job is gonna be fucking great.
I agree. I'm gonna be a whole different person as long as I don't fall off the wagon.
Using or not using? Yeah, that's the question. I like one of the things I like wrote a New Year's resolution at one point. Like, I'm not gonna smoke cigarettes even when my mom dies. Because
Oh.
in my head, I'm like, that's a really good excuse to just start fucking smoking. It's
I've
like,
wondered, I've
yeah.
at different chapters in my life, I've wondered what I'll do, how I'll behave when my parents are gone.
Yeah. Definitely do something destructive.
Exactly. I was like, will I be a like recognizably the same me, or will I just go off the rails?
When they die, you have to like secure things for them. But I don't know if that's your younger brother bitch ass job, to be honest with you.
It is. In our fam in our sibling dynamic,
You're
I'd be the
the
one.
your point.
Yeah, I'm point person.
Sucks.
Yeah.
Just try to physically abuse the rest of your siblings just to keep them in line. You know what I mean? That's what I would do.
On
And you're not going home for Passover.
Not going home for Passover. Today is my second oldest nephew's bar mitzvah party.
Shit.
Not there for that either. Pretty
Wow.
bummed about it, actually. I didn't want to like be a downer on this episode, but pretty bummed about it. So that's another thing that like has not resulted in me relapsing, which I'm pretty happy about.
It's just being bummed about missing your family. I'm sure that's what they want is for them to, is for you to show how bummed you are by getting fucking loaded.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Yeah,
You
pretty
send him a
bummed about
video,
it.
you send him a bar mitzvah message and be like, yeah, I got so fucked up because of how sad I am to miss it.
Because
So
I love you. It's
I
because I
love
love
you, Mazel
you.
And your mom's like, oh, Josh, so sweet.
She would love me through that.
And that's, yeah, that makes me sick, actually.
That's all going on. I think I'm bummed. I didn't relapse on substances, but I did relapse in the sense that it was also my ex's birthday this week. And this perfect storm of factors, I had to do one thing wrong. So I reached out to her.
To them.
And she wasn't happy to be reached out to.
And did that make you sad?
It made me sad, but it also, it's arguably, I'm arguably in a self-destructive spiral here where I re-engaged with her after several months. She is still hurting and very upset with me for the breakup and the nature of it. And so she asked like a million questions kind of in anger in an email. And this is our unhealthy dynamic. She like spouts off a bunch of questions, then I can't help but answer them. And then she has more questions because she can't help but ask questions. And then I can't help but answer. And we're just like in this highly triggered digital discussion. And it's not good for us, but we can't put it down. Probably because we want to be connected on some level. And so here's what I did. I agreed to meet her today in person to talk and have a closure-esque discussion, which we never had before.
Wow, dude,
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be good for me or for her.
this seems like something you should have waited to bring up until we only had one more minute.
Well, what are your things?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. That's a lot, dude. Good luck, okay? What do you hope to achieve out of it? What is closure? Who gives a fuck about closure, I guess? But I don't
Yeah,
know.
if I'm being perfectly honest with you, I think I hope to achieve a rekindling, which makes no sense because I live 2.5 hours away now.
That's the only reason it makes no sense. That's also a dumb fucking reason, to be honest with you. I you don't need to figure it out now, but I wonder like what actually you want.
I think I don't know, it might be a narcissistic part of me. There's a part of me that just like wants to be liked by this
And the
person.
second they like you, possibly wanting to get back together, do you still want that?
That's a good question. I think I do. Yeah, I don't know. I've been going through it in terms of like memories of this person, like positive memories, and it's kind of haunting me. It's like been incessant in the last couple months.
Or are you just lonely over there?
Yes, both.
Right. Well, good luck with that.
Thanks. Are you leading your Seder?
Yeah, I
You
am. We're having
became the
30.
patriarch?
We're having 30 people. Yeah, I'm the patriarch. Man, there's something that always haunts me. It was like the last Rosh Hashanah before my dad died, I sat in his chair and he told me, he's like, don't sit in my chair. You don't do that to somebody that's alive. And then he
Woof.
died 3 months later.
Woof.
Yeah,
So you killed him.
I had everything to do with
The old chair curse.
I did it on purpose. Yeah, it was enough. I woke up, you know why? Because I wanted to lead the fucking Seder.
That's what this is about.
Yeah, that's what this is all about. Because I am a narcissist and I wanted to be the one doling out reading assignments in the Haggadah. So bad, so much so enough to kill my father.
Your satyrs are like a little bit, I don't want to call them famous, but they're a hit in the community, in our community.
We got 30 people coming, man. And I got to tell you something,
Everybody.
I'm gonna drink.
Then you're gonna smoke too.
I don't think so. Because there's I mean, that's true. If there's somebody at the Seder with a pack of cigarettes, you know, a couple slivovitz is in, and it's pretty difficult to make some decisions there.
Slivovitz, huh? So you're gonna take shots. It's not that you're drinking 4 cups of wine.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, I struggle with this. It's like I could do it sober, but it's just such a fun tradition, and it's like the only time. I don't know, you know. I can't remember the last time I drank. So like,
Yeah.
is this the time to do it? You know what I mean? Like, it
Well,
is. This is how I make the justification, actually. It is fine if I don't decide to drink again, right?
I was just going to say that there's two nights of Seders back to back.
Well, what's funny is I'm skipping number two and going to a conference in Phoenix.
I'm skipping number two right now, Max.
For this podcast.
One in the chamber.
Oh boy. Well, we have our episode title.
You're going to Phoenix, which is
Which
an
is a
armpit of drinking for America. Like,
right at a conference where everybody's going to be drinking.
yeah. Oh, that's a
Yeah.
tough one, Max. I actually don't know the answer to this one.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're making Slivovitz Jello shots, I think, so.
You're drinking, yeah.
The Jello shot. I don't
Yeah,
know. We'll see. We'll see. You know, I do have a couple wine with like I'll have the blessed wine on Shabbat Friday night. I like that.
if you get a drinking pass for Passover, do I get a 420 pass next year for 420?
I don't think so, because 420 isn't exactly like a religious event, or it
It
is for some of our
is. If I
friends, though.
smoke all 20 joints, it will be.
Right. And they'll
I think
stay
you'll be
late.
fine. Yeah,
Yeah, I don't know. I also have to fly at the crack of dawn the following morning, so we'll see. There's also so much food that gets eaten that it just like kind of, I don't know. I don't walk away like obliterated. You know what I mean? Or do I?
it's
I don't
drawn
know.
out throughout the evening too.
Yeah. We'll see. So
I
yeah,
think
I'm reading.
the best natural consequence that I can think of is you do drink, then you miss your flight in the morning, you
And do
lose.
Seder too, drink again.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be, you know, there's a certain thing where it's like, you do also have to challenge yourself. Like it is like it will be the feeling of having drank the first night, going to Phoenix and declining to drink the next couple of nights while I'm getting countless invitations to come meet for a drink or go to this happy hour or whatever will be a good feeling after like succeeding at that. You know what I mean? Like that feeling of being able to control is a good one.
Do you think you'd feel any success if you just didn't drink at the Seder?
Yeah. Yes.
Do you think Destructive Dan comes out at the Seder?
No, I don't know.
Because you have to be a patriarch? Because you have to be your dad in that moment?
I guess. Yeah, I'm not gonna like start knocking things over at the Seder, you know, like
I love the image.
my partner said that she's like, yeah, they were like, oh God, because I'm like 6 foot 2:05. You know what I mean? So it's like partner is much smaller than that and doesn't like the idea of having to corral all of a sudden. Like she's like, your weight gets a lot more noticeable when we're trying to corral you.
That's hilarious.
So we'll see what happens. I do have to run the Seder. Something funny I want to say, my dad used to always do this thing called good and welfare. So before the Seder started, but everyone was seated and captive, he would say something about each person at the fucking Seder. We have 30 people coming. And
He's doing a shtick, like a bit.
yeah, he just talks. No, it's like, oh, this person just got into, this undergrad program or whatever. So yeah, but you also got to do a little bit of a bit. That's the
You also
hardest
got to do
part.
some research. It's like,
Right. Yeah. So by the way, so yeah, like there's like a bit of an hors d'oeuvre hour before you sit, and I gotta like get some research going,
it's impressive.
amongst the Slivovitz jello shot.
It's like a very charismatic host.
Sure, yeah. Assign some shit, hide the Afikoman. The adults are like down in the kids section now.
Wild. Do
Yeah,
you?
the passage of time,
Yeah. Filling of
Josh.
shoes, too.
Yeah. I wear my dad's shoes. Apparently, you're not supposed to do that either.
I was just gonna say, is there a lot of pressure to like be this magnanimous man? You kind of are.
Nah, no. Fuck everybody.
There's Dan.
That's the right attitude. Sorry. That's the right attitude. Everybody puts their pants on one leg at a time, or you could say everybody wipes their ass.
I believe it was Sonny from Big Daddy who said, "I wipe my own ass."
I wipe my own ass. Profound, man. Maybe we should have that be the one in the chamber. What was the title? One in the chamber, locked and loaded.
I'm skipping number two or something.
I'm skipping number two. Yeah, I'm skipping number two, and we'll use the
And then it was.
picture of the Big Daddy guy. All right, we got less than 2 minutes. What are your closing statements, Josh?
Well, what did you want to talk about?
I
I
don't
forget.
even know. I thought it was great. I mean, it was like fine. Talked about
It
some
was
heavy shit. We
fine.
laughed a little bit. You're locked and loaded.
I am locked and loaded.
You're gonna
And
go
then
make you're gonna go make some mud, baby.
I'm gonna make some mud and then I'm gonna meet with my ex.
Hell
You got any
yeah.
words? You got any advice for me?
I guess wipe front to back.
Okay, I'll try it.
Okay, yeah, that's good.
I wipe standing and
Oh,
Max,
right. Oh my God.
you are the first person to address it in my life, and tell me like that's not how everybody else wipes.
So let's do a poll for the audience. How many of our audience listeners? It'd be funny if we quote
Please.
my friend who sends the nice words at the end of every week, if she's listening to this. And she's our only audience as far as I'm concerned, but if she's listening to this, stand up and wipe or sit and
I
wipe.
would love a poll. I think that it's probably less than 10% of the population that stands up.
I know so many people that do it, and it's so fucking weird to me. And it's like a failure of parenting. It's like somehow, what happened that happened?
Are we gonna lose the episode?
I don't know. It's over. Happy Passover.
Happy Passover. Love you.
Love you.